We started last week this message entitled Now About Spiritual Gifts, and this is going to be part two of that. And so really last week was really kind of an overview about spiritual gifts, kind of setting it up to begin to talk about the gifts. And so just a quick review of that is in the scripture, we see that there are three different sets or types of gifts. There are what we call the motivational gifts. And those are gifts that lead us toward a particular style of serving. Like, for instance, one of the motivational gifts may be leadership. It may be service of some kind, you know, hospitality, that kind of thing. There are various kinds of gifts that we call the motivational gifts. And our infusion course that we do on Sunday mornings at 9:30 really kind of deal with those gifts and give you an opportunity to even, we call it a gift test and just kind of find out where you fit in with that. And then there are what we call ministerial leadership gifts. And these gifts are like the fivefold ministry: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. So that's what you call the ministerial leadership gifts. And then what we're focusing on and talking about is what's called the manifestational gifts. These gifts are completely supernatural. These gifts are things, this can't be explained in the natural. Now, there are some people who try to explain these gifts in the natural. Then there are some people who actually believe that these gifts aren't even for today. And for instance, I was talking to a pastor of a particular denomination, and they don't believe this way. And that particular pastor said, well, we just believe that these are kind of natural gifts. Like, for instance, word of knowledge would be somebody that studied a lot and they have a lot of knowledge. Or wisdom would be just, you know, wisdom. The word of wisdom means they just have a lot of wisdom, you know, natural wisdom. But there's a difference, and we're going to explain that. But these gifts are supernatural. Now, where they run into a problem is when you get to the one about the gift of miracles. And they don't know what to do with that one, because you can't make a miracle natural no matter what you try to do. Amen? For instance, they say that prophecy just means that's when you're preaching. That's just anytime you preach, that's considered prophecy. But there's a whole different type of prophecy. It's a supernatural type. And so these manifestational gifts are gifts that the body of Christ desperately needs, because how many of you know we need the supernatural touch of God in our lives, in the church? I think, listen, we have generations that have come up in the church since the church started doing this whole seeker-friendly thing and just try not to offend people, and they want to dumb everything down and water everything down. We have whole generations of young people who have left the church saying, man, I want something real. I don't want to just show up at church and just, you know, we're going to have the big social club thing and we're, you know, we're going to get entertained and so on. And right now, in fact, I was reading about it today. There is an incredible revival happening amongst young people across the country who are saying, man, I want the real thing. And they're seeking God, and God is meeting them where they are. And I'm talking about signs, wonders, and miracles taking place. And it's starting to happen all across the country. It's happening in the high schools. Literally, I was reading today about one particular ministry that's going into the high schools, and every day they're seeing, on average, every day, about 15 high schoolers giving their life to Christ every day. And they're holding more and more, you know, meetings and things with them. But you guys know that in the elementary schools around here, with the Kids for Christ, what Pastor Cindy is doing, and she's working with several other ministers all across the area, and these young little elementary kids by the hundreds and the thousands are hearing the gospel. And so it's a beautiful thing. So there's some good things happening. So if there's any one thing that is coming out of the, I would almost say, apostate or very close to an apostate church, is if there's any one good thing coming out of it, we have young people coming up saying, man, there's something wrong with this. There's got to be more than this. And so the manifestational gifts are important, because this is how God works through his people in a supernatural way. And as I said last week, all of us can function and flow in every one of those supernatural gifts that we're going to talk about. We're not limited to just one. Now, some people believe that you're only limited to one, but one example I will use for that is when you're talking about tongues and interpretation, for instance. And the Apostle Paul says that if you're going to bring a message in tongues, and understand there's a different types of tongues, there's a prayer language of tongues, and then there's a tongues that is supposed to come with an interpretation. It's a message from heaven. And the Apostle Paul says, if you're going to give a tongue in that public setting, like in a church service, then also be prepared to give the interpretation of tongues. That's two gifts. So if we're only limited to one, then why is the Apostle Paul saying be prepared to operate in two at least? And as we said last week, many times we see these gifts operating together. For instance, God may give a person a word of knowledge that, hey, somebody's got a problem with a elbow, and then a word of wisdom on how to handle that, how to pray for them, what to say to them. And then the gift of faith is in operation that will begin to just call faith into the situation. And it's not just a believing in the mind, it's just a knowing in the spirit. I know this is going to happen. Like what Pastor Cindy was saying, I know that while I'm sitting in this stadium, it may rain all around, but it ain't going to rain on us. That was a gift of faith in operation. Okay? That's not just because you convinced yourself of something in your mind. That's a supernatural gift. And then after those gifts are working together, then you may see a gift of healing in operation, or a gift of a miracle in operation. If it's a miracle, typically it's an instant thing. Okay? So we'll get into all of that, but it's so important that we have that. So this is what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 11. The first thing he said is, now about spiritual gifts, and this is where we get the title. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, and you could also say sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. So in other words, the Apostle Paul is saying, I want you to know about these spiritual gifts. I want you to know how they work. I want you to know what this is all about. And so that's why we're taking the time to teach this. And I taught on this probably about 4 years ago, and I didn't realize it had been that long, but I was speaking to a minister friend, pastor friend of mine the other day, and we got to talking about this subject. And he said, you know, when I was pastoring, he said, at least once a year, we would teach on this to try to keep this fresh in the hearts of the people. Because listen, it's easy to just start going through motions, right? And so he asked me, he said, how long has it been? And I said, well, I think it's been about 2 years. But then when I began to look into my notes and all, realized, no, it's been 4 years since we taught about this. Now, we see some of these things demonstrated in the services, and that's wonderful. But honestly, I'd like to see all of them get demonstrated in the services. And not just in the services, but also outside of the services in the public arena out there, wherever you are. So he says, I don't want you to be ignorant of these spiritual gifts. And then he starts talking about the different kinds of gifts and so on and so forth. Now, we're not going to, because of time, we're not going to read through all of the scripture that we read last week. You can go back and listen to that one if you want. It'll be, I know it's posted on the Church of the Promise Facebook page and the Church of the Promise CIA page too. So now he doesn't want us to be ignorant about that in verse 1. Verse 3 tells us, I tell you that no one who's speaking by the Spirit of God can say Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Understand that the gifts, the manifestations, the working of the Spirit is all to point toward Christ. So it's not about somebody getting prideful and saying, I have this gift or I have that gift and I'm really important. And it's not about any of that. It's about if the gift operating in my life is not pointing people to Christ, if somehow it's drawing people to myself, then I am missing it big time. So God's looking for people that he can trust, that he can flow these gifts through. And so verse 7 also says, now to each one, the manifestation of the gift is given for the common good. And it's important, and the King James says, to profit with all. So it's important to understand that when he says to each one, the gift is given, he's not giving the gift to the person who he's flowing it through. We are a conduit that he flows through. The gift is being given to the person who needs to be touched by the gift. Y'all understand that? It makes all the difference in the world. None of us can say, I have the gift of healing, or I have the gift of miracles, right? No, they're the Holy Spirit's gifts, and he just flows them through us to people who need to be touched by them. And then there's no place for pride in that. So it's important to get that. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't know a whole lot of people that teach it that way, but I believe that that's what God intended with all of this. So again, spiritual gifts do not belong to us. They belong to Him. And so 1 Corinthians 12:6 says this, and I believe that all people, if you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, the Holy Spirit can flow those gifts through you. And you're not limited to one. Now, notice what this says, 1 Corinthians 12:6. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them, talking about the gifts. He works all of them in all men. He works all of the gifts in all men. And he's, of course, he's talking about the people of his church. And he's not just talking about males, okay? He's talking about men. He's talking about mankind. So all of these gifts can operate through all and any of his people. And if we can believe that, then God will open, I mean, it'll open up opportunities for you that you never experienced before. And it'll open up opportunities to minister to people in a way that they've never experienced before. So again, God will use any one of his children to be a pipeline of whatever gift is needed at the time if they are willing to be obedient. And that's why we have the picture of the pipeline. And there's the nine pipes because there's nine of these manifestational gifts. The first three gifts are there's three sections of these gifts. The first three are tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. The second set of these manifestational gifts are the knowing gifts. So the first one's called the speaking gifts. These are the knowing gifts. And this is distinguishing or discerning of spirits or distinguishing between spirits. Then there is the message or the word of knowledge. And then there's the message or the word of wisdom. Then there's the power gifts, the supernatural faith, gifts of healing, and working of miracles. That's the third set. We call those the power gifts. And so also, again, verse 11 says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, meaning that all of this is working through the Holy Spirit. Now, I was thinking about this today, and the Lord just kind of dropped this in my heart, thinking about faith. I actually was listening to a minister talking about faith, and it dawned on me that faith, to operate in faith, for years people thought and taught that somehow you've got to convince your mind that, okay, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. And it's the power of positive thinking, okay? And people have mixed that up. They think that faith is the power of positive thinking. But faith is not born in the mind. Faith is born in the Spirit. The Bible says faith comes from the Word of God. The Word of God can only be known in my spirit, not just in my brain. See, I can have the Logos Word that I can hear with my brain, but the Rhema Word is that which I catch with my spirit, and that's when God is speaking directly to me. The Bible says spirit speaks to spirit. God is a spirit, the Bible tells us. He's not speaking to our brain. He's speaking to our spirit. And so when we hear a word from God in our spirit, nobody else around may hear it. In fact, the scripture says that there are a couple of places where God spoke once to Jesus. It may have been twice to Jesus, but where God spoke and he heard it, but everybody else, it just sounded like thunder. Some hear the voice of God, some only hear thunder, because God speaks to the spirit. But when God speaks, faith is there because faith is created from that word. And so then when we take a hold of that word and begin to stand on it, that's what we confess. It's not to convince our head, because if I say it enough times, I'll believe myself. I've heard preachers say that. You'll believe yourself before you believe anybody else. So if you just keep saying it out loud over and over again, you'll start to believe it. That's not faith. That's just, you know, power of positive thinking kind of thing. That's not faith. Faith is, man, I caught this in my spirit and I know in my spirit that God's going to do this. And so you're going to have to bypass your brain to believe what God said. Because anything God tells you to do that's only possible through supernatural power, your brain is going to resist it. It's never going to come in line with it. The Bible says that the mind of the man is an enemy. It's enmity with God. It's an enemy of God. So you have to bypass it and say, God, what are you saying in my spirit? I want to catch a hold of that. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean that our mind doesn't need to be renewed. It doesn't mean that we don't need education. We do. But I mean, I'm explaining things today that we're going to catch with our head today. But more than what you catch with your head, what is the Spirit saying to you in this? So all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit. When I follow the leading of the Spirit, I'm acting in faith. I don't have to manufacture faith. I just hear what God is saying to me, and I act on it, and that is acting in faith. And so, again, there's been a lot of teaching over the years that just really deals more with making it some kind of positive thinking thing. I think that's definitely an error. So, all right, so the Holy Spirit operates. So here's the good news. I am not qualified. I'm not qualified to do miracles and healings and operate in the gift. I am not, but the Holy Spirit in me is. So if it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me, I'm perfectly, completely qualified to do anything that God wants to do and let His supernatural gifts flow through me. I may have just blown it 5 minutes ago, and God puts me in a situation where He needs somebody to be supernaturally touched by His power, by His Spirit. And if I'll yield to it, God will flow through me. So it's important to understand that, because if not, the enemy and your own mind will disqualify you and you'll never step out and see the supernatural. So again, nobody gets to brag about the gifts. No, just I say it all the time. Lord, I'm just a pipe. Just flow through me. I don't even have to be the prettiest pipe. I'm being old rusty pipe. Don't matter. Just flow through me. So let's look at these gifts. The number one first set of gifts is the speaking gifts. I chose to start with these because these are the most known within most Spirit-filled churches. So the speaking gifts, the first one is prophecy. And prophecy is a strong word of the Spirit to the church. Remember, there's a difference in, like, for instance, tongues and interpretation. So prophecy is a word, fresh word from heaven to earth. Tongues and interpretation equals prophecy. Tongues and interpretation means it's a word from heaven to earth, but sometimes the Lord will use a gift of tongues. The Bible says it's a sign to the unbeliever. It's to get somebody's attention, right? Pastor Cindy will tell you she was in a service, but really, I don't think she was saved yet, but it was a man that spoke in tongues, a message in tongues, and it so caught her heart. She knew this was God. This was a supernatural thing. So the church has got it wrong today. The church today says, and this is all across the board, I'm talking about even churches that believe in the gifts of the Spirit, say, listen, guys, while we're in church, nobody speak in tongues, because we don't want to spook anybody. We don't want to scare anybody. But the Bible says it's a sign for the unbeliever. So, and why would God, if you ask Him for a fish, would He give you a snake? So the scripture says, if you ask Him for bread, would He give you a rock? So nothing that the Holy Spirit does is going to harm somebody. It's only going to help somebody. All right. So sometimes we said it's a word of a future event. Sometimes that's what a prophetic word is. I gave some illustrations last week of all of these. But sometimes it has to do with a future event, but not always. Secondly, sometimes it's a word of confirmation, something that God told you and that He spoke to your heart, and then somebody confirms that. They say, hey, I have a word for you. For instance, when Pastor Cindy and I, several years ago, we were not taking a salary from the church. We were living in an old rent house. That thing was in rough shape. And we get three men of God out of state, not connected to each other, who call in 1 week and say, I have a message from God for you. That message is, God says it's time for you to start allowing the church to provide a salary, which was impossible because there was no money in the church to provide a salary. And God says it's time for you to stop working outside the church and, you know, making a paycheck outside the church. And He also wants you to have your own house. Okay, you talk about put somebody in an impossible situation. See, God has this habit of telling you, I want you to cross the Jordan River, but I want you to wait until it's in flood stage, right? That's exactly how it was to me. And to top it off, it was right after Hurricane Rita, when you couldn't find any place. I mean, everything was so expensive. It was just crazy. And so he gives us that word. But the thing is, we were being so stubborn about it, both of us, that God had to have three different men of God tell us. And then another lady in the church walks in one day and says, "Pastor Cindy, I have a word from God for you." Guess what the word was? Same thing, except she gave a few more details. She said, God said, tell God what you want. Put in your order. Tell him what you want. He wants to give that to you with a house. We literally, after the fourth time, we sat down with a pen and paper, tablet, and we wrote every single thing down that we wanted in a house. Let's dream a little bit. If we get a house, what would we want? I'm telling you, the house he gave us, and he dropped it in our lap. We weren't trying to get it. It was every single thing, every detail on that paper. Only God can do that, right? But it was a prophetic word that God was speaking into our future, into our destiny, and then he had to keep confirming that. Now, sometimes it's a word of confirmation, and most of the time that word comes after God's spoken to your heart, and then someone comes along and confirms it. And then also, sometimes it's a word of correction of sin or a warning to repent. Sometimes a prophetic word is not a fluffy thing. Sometimes it's, listen, you better get it right. God says, listen, I've heard preachers say this, and it'd be very accurate. I've heard people prophesy to people and say, the Lord says, this is your last chance. This is your last chance. You need to repent or you're about to be exposed. And I've seen it happen over and over again. I've seen times where the Lord warned people and said, this is your last chance. If you don't stop this and stop it now, you're not going to live another year. Now, that's not God bringing judgment. That's God trying to save somebody from themselves. So sometimes it's a word of correction. Thank God. We ought to thank God for those words of correction. Because what does correction do? It going down the wrong path, correction just simply says, look, you need to go down this path. And listen, when we reach a point where we can't take correction, we have reached a point where we will destroy ourselves. So again, sometimes God will speak prophetically. He'll get your attention that way. Then also it can be a word of encouragement, and we all like those. We love it when God says, man, I just want you to know you're about to get blessed. God's about to bless you. You're about to get some money come in that you didn't know was coming. How many of you love those kind of words, man? We love those words, right? I'll never forget. Again, me and Pastor Cindy, we're standing in the midst of a bunch of ministers, and there's this lady, and she is very accurate, in these words. And pastor after pastor, she's saying, oh, God's about to, he's about to pour out finances on your church. And he's about, and after she says that about three or four times, we're standing there and we're thinking, oh yeah, finally. And she gets to us and she says, and God says, I'm sending you people who've never had a normal day in their life. And then she moves on to the next person and starts talking about God's about to send money to them. Now, I'm telling you the truth. Is that the truth? That's the truth. I've said that many times. That helps us out. That's why I always say, if you're here, it's because you got issues, okay? Just like us, right? That's why you're here. God knew where to send you. So the good thing is he knows how to fix the issues if we let him. And he has done that. We've seen lives completely turned around. It's a beautiful thing. So, all right. So then we talked about a guide for prophecy, that it must line up with the word of God. And then, when it comes to personal prophecies, be very careful. I believe that people need personal prophecies, but I also believe that the Bible teaches that those words should be judged. And it should be judged by those who operate in those giftings. Okay? So we live in a time right now that, honestly, there's a lot of people who love to take on the title of prophet, and they want to go around and prophesy over everybody. And the problem is, many times it's false. Okay. Now, are there prophets today? Yes. Do you have to be a prophet to flow in the gift of prophecy? No, you do not. But there are a lot of people who, because they say, I am prophet so-and-so, and then they want to go around and just start prophesying to people and telling them stuff that, I'm telling you, if you got the Spirit of God operating in you, that's one of the wonderful things about the gift of discerning of spirits, as you can know that is not from God. Okay. So you want those gifts operating. Again, those things work together. So it must line up with the Word of God. If it ever contradicts the Word of God, it is not from God. And generally, it's a word that confirms something that God's already doing. Now, when it comes to personal prophecy, you want to ask about that person, especially if it's directives. Because many times when people give a prophecy, they'll start, you know, sometimes it's God says you need to do this. You need to, you know, I've heard people say, you know, I just believe God's called you to go to Africa. Well, did God tell you that before? If not, you better put that thing on the shelf, right? And then wait for that to be confirmed. And I suggest you wait for that to be confirmed two or three times at least, right? But you also, it is important that you understand what is the credible history of the person that's giving the prophecy. Because again, there are one thing the scripture warns us about is false prophets. And so though God can use any one of his children, if that person has bad character, they're going to misuse that gift for wrong reasons. I know people who love to go around and give prophecies expecting people to give them money for it. So second thing is, do they have legitimate spiritual authority in their life? I want to know, who's your pastor? Who are you submitted to? If you don't have a spiritual authority that you're submitted to, you can keep your word. Amen? I don't want it. And the thing is, God can send somebody to me that actually is walking in the right spirit and has the, you know, spiritual authority in their life. And so I'm not going to accept that from some kind of a rogue prophet. So also, if it's within the church meeting, have they been authorized by legitimate authority or pastor to give personal prophecies? Ask them, would the pastor be okay with you telling me this? And do you have a problem with, let's go to the pastor and let's share this with him too? If they have a problem with that, they're hiding something. Okay. So this is just good common sense stuff right here. Listen, not that me or Pastor Cindy, not that we don't want to rule people's lives. We're not trying to do that, but we do believe that we're supposed to protect those that God has put under our care, and especially within the four walls of this place or any kind of a function that is under Church of the Promise, a Bible study, even if it's at a home, if it's a function of Church of the Promise, then those things need to be weighed out. And so that's what the scripture says to do. I mean, I remember somebody going and prophesying to some people that, oh, God's about to give you, he's about to give you a church building. He's called you to pastor and he's about to give you a church building. Then people went rogue. They got so filled with pride. They went rogue on us. We couldn't do anything with them anymore. Now I don't know what they're doing or where they are today. That should have never happened, right? So everything. And here's the thing with that particular person, I couldn't fix it. They said, you're just trying to hold me back. Man, we're not trying to hold anybody back. We want to get you out there, right? We want to get you doing what God called you to do. But again, there's all these kind of issues. There's character issues and stuff that you have to consider. Is there tangible fruit coming from that person's life is another question. Then the person given the prophecy, again, if they're not your pastor, encourage them to go to your pastor with that word, or at least, you know, go together or let them know, I'm going to go to the pastor with this because I just believe that this needs to be judged by legitimate spiritual authority. All right. Now let's go to the second one, tongues. I believe that's where we ended last week, if I'm not mistaken. Tongues. This is not your prayer language. Now listen to me. Everybody, if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, whether you realize it or not, you can be, we call it baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. God will enable you to have a prayer language of tongues. It's for everybody. There are some people that teach that, oh, it's just for some people. And for years, I didn't understand how it works. So I'd see people praying in tongues and say, God, I really want that, because the Bible says it edifies the believer. The Bible says that it builds you up. The Bible says to pray in the most holy faith. It says to pray in the Spirit, right? It tells us to do that. And I'd say, God, I'd want to do that. And I mean, I got saved when I was 7, but that I didn't experience that till I was 15. Now, what I did experience is I'd come to the altar and man, they'd lay hands on me and I wouldn't be able to get up from the altar. I'd just be literally, I don't know how else to say it other than just drunk in the Spirit. But I didn't understand how it worked. So I would have my mouth closed. And the idea was, if it happens, it's going to be real. And I thought God was going to take my mouth and make it go, wah, 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 wah. But that's not how it works. The Bible says they spoke as the Spirit gave the utterance. We have a part to play. I have to use my vocal cords. I have to open my mouth and trust by faith that God's going to give the utterance when I begin to use my vocal cords. And I'm telling you, that is exactly how it worked. I didn't understand that. For years, I didn't understand that. But man, I'm telling you, with the first time that began to flow out of me, on the inside, I felt it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I literally felt the power and the energy of God building me up. It was an incredible thing. And so that's prayer language. It's wonderful and it's for everybody. And there are some, you know, some directives that the scripture gives us about tongues in the body of Christ in a church service. But many people have taught that you shouldn't do that at all in a church service unless there's an interpretation. But that's only if it's the gift of tongues. Okay. Now here's the difference. Tongues that requires interpretation is a message from heaven to earth. People are supposed to know what it's being said. What is God saying? That's why it needs an interpretation. Tongues that is a prayer language is not from heaven to earth. It's from earth to heaven. And it's nobody's business what's being said. You don't even know what's being said. Your own brain doesn't even know what's being said. It's being bypassed completely. So it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing that God gives to His people. And unfortunately, so many people don't understand it. So many people reject it. And I think it's a very sad thing. Why would the Holy Spirit give it to us? Or why would the Lord give it to us if He didn't intend for us to have that and use that? Okay. And so, again, the tongues we're talking about tonight, though, is not the prayer language. It is a message from heaven to earth, and it requires interpretation. And a lot of people are confused about that. They just lump it all in together when you talk about tongues. And they get so freaked out and spooked by it that they don't even want to know about it. They don't even want to ask questions about it. I believe if a person can really understand that, then we can understand how the gifts are supposed to work and how I can be edified with it and how the church can be edified with it. Okay. And I'm talking about us personally as individuals. So the gift of tongues is for the edification of the church, but the praying in tongues is for the edification of the individual. The guidelines are found in chapter 14 on how the gifts operate. And this is what it says, that if someone speaks out in tongues without interpretation given, it will not profit the church. So what was happening when Paul's addressing the Corinthians is everybody in the church was so excited about the gifts that they were all literally, they were everybody just speaking in tongues, but with no interpretation. And Paul is addressing this and he's saying, look, guys, don't forget why you're here. It's a wonderful gift. But what good does it do if somebody walks in and all you're doing is speaking in tongues, but there's no interpretation of that, and there's no prophecy going forth, and there's nothing spoken in the language of the person? How are they going to hear the word of God, right? That's just good common sense. But in their youthful exuberance, because understand it was a fairly youthful church, in their youthful exuberance, they were just excited about the gifts, and they weren't thinking about the gifts as something that is to be used for others. They were thinking about, this is wonderful that I get to be using this gift, right? And so he says, if someone speaks out in tongues without an interpretation, it's not going to profit the church. If someone is used in tongues, they have to also be open for the Spirit to flow in their lives with the interpretation. Now, that we don't see that happening a whole lot. Sometime, every once in a while, but we don't see that happening a whole lot where someone will step out in tongues. And this is why it doesn't happen, because people are so insecure about it. And they think, oh, this is not God. This is just me. Right? But I'm telling you, it's very powerful when it happens. And that interpretation may come from another person, or if another person doesn't give the interpretation, then by faith, you say, God, okay, you tell me what to say. Now, here's the thing to understand about this. It's an interpretation. It's not a translation. Now, it can be a translation. I've seen that happen. And God may have a purpose for it to be exactly translated. We had a young lady in school that was from, she was from India. She spoke, I don't know, four languages. One of those languages, only a few hundred people in the world knew it. And it was in some small village in India. And this little Hispanic guy in our chapel at in our Bible college, this little Hispanic guy gives a message in tongues and he speaks it perfectly. The language, it was a particular Hindi language. He speaks it perfectly. First of all, he's never heard the language before. And this girl who knew that language is looking at that and thinking, how in the world does this guy know this? Now understand, this girl had just moved to our college from a particular religious college who taught her that tongues is of the devil. And so, see, she comes and she hears this message, and then somebody else perfectly translated it, not just interpret, but translated it, and it was speaking directly to her. It blew her mind, right? So God can do that. I believe God can also use a person in the gift of tongues where there's no interpretation needed because you're in a group with people that speak that language. And I've heard of that, where a missionary would go to some place and begin to speak in the language of the people. And they understood exactly what he was saying. Now, whether it was that God was just interpreting that to them or something, I don't know. I just know that God can use it however he wants to use it, but he needs somebody that's willing to operate in it. But most of the time, it's the tongues is spoken, and then there's an interpretation that is given, usually by somebody else. Okay. And so, again, praying in your personal tongue, according to the scripture, should be in private. We should do that a lot in private. Can I tell you, I pray in tongues more than I pray in English, because I figure the Holy Spirit in me, who is the one that's actually interceding through me, knows a whole lot more what to pray about than I do. So I pray a lot more in tongues than I do in English, because I find that in English, when I begin to pray, I start trying to tell God what needs to be done. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? So it's a powerful thing. So as far as praying in tongues, I should do that individually, but also there is a place for it in corporate worship as well. And we do that here. And we believe that there are times when I believe everybody in the room should be praying in tongues, because when you're praying in tongues, you're literally stirring up the Spirit inside of you. You're given, the Bible says that if you control the tongue, you control the whole body. So we're yielding our tongues to the Lord, giving Him control, and it stirs something inside of you. Many times before the Lord uses me in one of the other gifts, the first thing I do is I just begin to pray in tongues, and that stirs something up inside of me that causes the other gifts to begin to operate, because I'm yielding myself to the Holy Spirit, okay? So that can be done in a church service too, but it shouldn't be done in a way that's disruptive. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying. If you're in the service and all you want to do is just be speaking in tongues, he says, quiet it down, unless it's part of the flow of the Spirit where it's something everybody's doing. But if it's not a tongues with interpretation, quiet it down and make that between you and God. It doesn't mean you can't pray in tongues. It just means you need to don't be predominant with it. Amen? Okay, and it's important to understand that, because you're going to meet people who believe you shouldn't pray in tongues in church at all. It shouldn't be done. So it is appropriate from time to time. And sometimes, as I'm up here and the Lord's authorizing me to speak and lead the service, sometimes I just believe the Lord says, look, just tell everybody to begin to pray in the Spirit. He's got a purpose for that. And I always say that, look, let's just pray in the Spirit. And if you don't have a prayer language, just pray whatever the Lord is leading you, but begin to pray. You know, let the Spirit lead you. So 1 Corinthians 14:27-28, this is what it says. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at most three should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. Why is Paul saying that? Because this gift was an operation, not praying in tongues, but a tongues, a word, is in operation, and people were getting confused because it wasn't, the message from heaven wasn't getting said in the language that they could understand. So he says, if anyone speaks, let's put some order to this. And then the scripture tells us that The spiritual gifts are subject to the person. So in other words, nobody can ever say, oh, I couldn't help myself. It just came on me and I just had to do it. No, if that were the case, Paul wouldn't be saying, let's put some order to it. If I couldn't help, if the Holy Spirit was just overtaking me and I just had to blah, 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 blah. You're lying. So obviously he's saying two, at most three. Why? Because the word of God also needs to be preached, right? Should speak one at a time, and there's no competition here, and someone must interpret. And then it says, if there's no interpreter, then speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. So again, if it's a prayer language, it doesn't need an interpreter, so we can do that. All right. Now, interpretation of tongues. Let's talk about this one, and then we're going to have to end it right here. Next week, we'll start talking about the knowing gifts. But the interpretation of tongues is just simply, after the message in tongues is given, the English or whatever the language of the people that are present represents is given the interpretation so that all will understand the message from God. So the interpretation is given in the language of the people, but it doesn't necessarily mean translated. So, for example, how many of you have ever heard somebody, maybe you heard somebody speak in tongues and maybe it was long, and then the interpretation comes and it's pretty short? You ever seen that? I used to wonder about that because I thought it was translated or transliterated, but it's not. It's just, what is the Spirit speaking? And then there are times when the tongue is real short, but then the interpretation is much longer. Now, I will tell you that there are some languages like that where it seems like they talk forever and the interpretation is not like that. I've preached in countries where they spoke in different languages, like Swahili, for instance, and I would say something and they would just go on and on and on. And then I'd say something long and they would say three or four words and look at me like that was it. It's like, you done? So the interpretation of tongues, again, it's important to understand that, because if not, your own mind will say, oh, well, that must not have been from God, or they must have missed it. Here's how you know it's from God. If it touches you, if you're open to hearing what God is saying and it touches you, you receive that. And again, I believe the discerning of spirits should be in operation and throughout the church at all times, but God will confirm that to you. And so remember, tongues and interpretation together are equal to prophecy. So tongues and interpretation has pretty much the same rules to it as prophecy does, in that it's going to affect you in the same way. For instance, we said that it may be actual correction, or it may be a word of encouragement, or it may be a word of confirmation, or it may have to do with a future event. So tongues and interpretation can operate the same way. It's just a little added flair to it. And the Bible says it's to get the attention of the unbeliever, like it did Pastor Cindy that day. Now, she said when that happened in that service, all she could do was fall on her knees and begin to cry out to God. Now, that's a beautiful thing. And again, I don't know why churches today are, they do everything they can to exclude those kind of things when God says, no, I have a purpose in the church for it. So, all right, well, we're going to stop right there. And then we'll start where we left off. And this is what I want to do. Is the whole time that we're teaching on this, I just pray that God is also going to impart these things into every person here. And that, now listen, God can impart to you, but it's up to you to, by faith, step out and do it as he moves on you. Okay? And the hardest part is fighting your own mind that's going to tell you, oh, no, you're going to look like an idiot. Right? So won't you just lift your hands to the Lord. And Father, I thank you for imparting to your people these spiritual gifts that go beyond our own rational thinking, Lord, because this is in the supernatural realm. Lord, for those who are hungry for it, for those who want you to prove and show yourself in a supernatural way, not only to them, but to others that they are ministering to, Lord, I pray that you would cause these gifts to begin to flow through your people. I pray for a supernatural wisdom to know how and when to use them, Father. But I thank you, Lord, that you want to use your body. You want to heal through your body. You want to touch people through your body. Lord, you want to speak life to others through your body. And so, Lord, we say we'll be the pipeline for you. Lord, just we'll be a pipe. Just flow through us, pour through us, Father, and touch people's lives. We want to do something that counts for eternity, Father. And Lord, I break the power of confusion off of any person that is dealing with any confusion about these things. And Lord, I pray, set them free right now in Jesus' name. We break every stronghold. We cancel every assignment of Satan against this body. And we thank you, Father, that you will raise up people who will walk in supernatural power, supernatural giftings. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.